Hello, my name is Jessica Dockstader, and I'm a research specialist at the CNA Institute for Public Research and the outreach coordinator for the BWC TGA program. We have found that agencies benefit greatly from direct regular support from a TGA team consisting of a training and technical assistance lead and analyst assigned to work with them throughout their BWC implementation process, a meeting with other sites, assistance with policy development, and other resources and ongoing TTA. We conducted brief one-on-one interviews with our BWC TTA leads to allow each site and the broader policing community a chance to learn about their expertise. Please enjoy this BWC TTA lead feature.
My name is Richard McLaughlin. I was a police officer in the city of Laurel, Maryland, for almost 33 years. I started my career in 1986. The last 12 years were spent in the chief's office as either a deputy chief or the chief. My final 9 years were as the chief of police. In about 2012, I was approached in regards to initiating a body-worn camera program, which we reviewed, we entered into, and we started in about 2013. The program itself blossomed so much that it became departmental wide, and we actually were pre-Ferguson and a bunch of other major issues that resulted in a multitude of both international and national media coverage. So we were pretty well known, and we were one of the first that I am aware of on the East Coast to implement the program.
Great, thank you. So what would you say is the most interesting thing that you've experienced with the site?
Well, I think there's a lot of different things. I think there's a lot of great initiatives out there. There's a lot of thinking outside the box. I think probably one of the neatest or most interesting things that I have heard of is that they're utilizing body-worn camera video footage of real-life situations as training situations. So they're basically modeling training as a result of something that either went very well or went very poorly that was captured by video by the body-worn cameras. I think that's absolutely incredible that they can have that technology and that capability to review and prepare officers for real-life situations that have been captured as real-life situations. Some of the other things that are pretty neat are there's been opportunities where they have caught in-progress calls as the officers rolled up on the scene. It's actually captured on video. And, you know, as far as an evidentiary standard, that is just, it's beyond reproach. The distracted driving, I know that there's a lot of officers that are using the cameras for distracted driving, particularly talking on cell phones, violation of the hands-free law. They're pulling up next to a car. There's a delay or a lag on the video. It's actually capturing that lapse of the violation occurring. They're hitting a video or they're conducting a traffic stop. And again, it's being utilized in court. You know, one of the big things and one of the big benefits that I see as a result of the body-worn cameras is a reduction of use of force. And conjunction with that is the reduction of workers' comp claims, because if there's a reduction in use of force, there's obviously a reduction of workers' comp claims. In a nutshell, that's pretty much the interesting things that I've seen. And again, there's a lot, every day something new is coming out and they're using it for something different. And it's just to have that technology and the capability to capture that and utilize it is just, I think it speaks volumes.
What is the most interesting use of body-worn cameras that you've seen from a site?
I think there's some agencies that are using it for field training, officer training. And basically what that is we're visually drawn, we're visually educated. And I can tell you, you did something wrong all day long, and until you actually see it and you actually witness that you're doing it wrong, you're going to continue to do it. So the fact that they're capturing the mistakes and the good things that the recruits are doing, and if they're able to utilize that to back up the fact that they're doing something wrong, I think that's great. You know, the other thing is my agency used the
head-mounted camera.
You know, it has the capability of, it's basically point of vision or point of view. So what you're seeing through the camera is what the officer's seeing, in essence. They were utilizing that for firearms training. So if there was an issue with somebody at the range, as far as their sight picture, they were utilizing the cameras for firearms training, which I think, again, that's an awesome tool, and that's a great use of that camera to help educate the officers. SWAT deployments. You know, a lot of SWAT teams are putting the cameras on their operators. As they're doing a knock and announce, prior to doing the knock and announce, they're knocking on the door, they're turning the camera on, they're knocking, they're doing their 10 count or whatever count they're doing, it's captured. So if there's ever a question of, I didn't know the police were at the door, you know, there's your justification and your documentation that they're not going to announce that occur.
That's great. What do you think is the main factor that leads to success in sites?
I think there's a lot. I think agencies believe that once their policy is written, it's etched in stone. I think the reality is it needs to be fluid. Case laws change, circumstances change. Agencies may change when officers use the cameras, when officers don't use the cameras, where they can, where they can't, and it needs to be fluid. So they need to understand just because you've written that policy does not mean that policy is etched in stone and it stays in place. You have to revisit it. You may have to edit and or modify it. The buy-in and the trust and the belief and the transparency that's created by the cameras, it has to start at the top and it has to go all the way to the bottom. If you have any buffer in that mix, I think it kind of creates a hurdle with the acceptance and the usage of the cameras. You need the engagement and support of the community, not only your citizens, but your civic groups, whether it's NAACP, ACLU, whomever your civic groups are in your jurisdiction. You need to have that buy-in because they're going to be the biggest supporters. And it truly is a win-win. I've seen situations where the cameras have captured somebody that was absolutely non-compliant until they were told they were being audiovisually recorded. And then it was as if a light switch had gone off. And they were totally compliant, and it changed the whole attitude. And it holds both the officers and the citizens, whether they're suspects, whether they're just citizens, to a different standard.
Thank you for listening to this BWC TTA lead feature. To hear from the other TTA leads or learn more about the program, visit our website at bwcTTA.com.